For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Here's the pitch. Massey lines it toward the right side, a base hit into right field. Witt sprints around third. Beerling's throw to the plate, cut off. Witt slides in safely. This game is tied at one. Michael Massey comes through with a two-out RBI single.
That the voice of Jake Eisenberg here. You heard it last night on 96.5 The Fan. You're home for Kansas City Royals baseball. Vern's on deck show tonight at 5:30. Remember, there's only four games left at the K. You got Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and tonight. So call in for the pitch clock and you can have a chance to win a ticket or a pair of tickets to that final series against the San Francisco Giants.
Yeah, we'll be out there Saturday night rooting the boys in blue on. Hopefully they get a big time win over the Giants. The Gigantes de San Francisco are coming into town. 10-1 winners last night over Baltimore. I don't like that.
That is the only highlight from last night in the Royals folder, because that's all there was. The Michael Massey.
What else would we play, right?
The brutal catch in center field that took the air out of my lungs.
Brutal or, like, amazing. Yeah. But, like, I mean, that's one of the better catches.
Isn't that the beauty of sports? So that's the difference in teams.
It is.
Like, how many times does somebody say, oh, that was just an absolute beautiful throw by Patrick Mahomes? That was an absolute brutal throw that we just got happened to us by Patrick Mahomes. Same thing in baseball. That ball goes to center field. I'm thinking to myself, like, get down, keep going. And then in the back of the glove. But let's be real. The magic number is eight.
Eight with 10 to go.
It's still eight.
It's been eight since Sunday.
Right.
Since Saturday, really.
I'm with a lot of people because my buddy Tyler texted me last night and he was like, man, he's like, this stinks. Like, I'm starting to look at the standings. And he's super optimistic. He's the guy that no matter when the Chiefs have been down from the beginning of the Mahomes era, it's always like, well, let's just wait and watch this thing out. So I'll give him credit.
So he's
that.
Me?
Yeah, basically. He'd love that comparison. And the thing that's great about this is that, or not great about this, is that you went into this Tigers series, and we talked about this on Friday last week. That when you got into the play in the Tigers, it was probably going to be Lugo, Reagans, and Marsh.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is. You get Marsh today against a Cy Young winner this year, probably in Skubal. And you looked at this series, you thought to yourself, okay, y'all don't win games 1 and 2 because Lugo and Reagans are on the mound. Lugo, not the best start
great,
of the season.
But still a winnable game.
Right, and at one point you had two different times where you had a 4-run lead.
Right.
Bobby Witt Jr. hits the grand slam in the third, you're up 4-0, then they got the run back after they gave up one, and it was 5-1, and then you end up losing the game 7-6. And brutal. I mean, just a brutal game because it was everybody put everything out there, it was back and forth, you had 2 4-run leads, and you think to yourself, damn it, all right, well, at least you got Reagan tomorrow night. Reagan shoved last night, 7 innings, 6 strikeouts,
night.
5 hits, yeah, he stranded runners. Royals just could not score any runs last night, and that is a problem because it seemed that the strategy in A.J. Hinch's game last night was that they were just going to throw everything outside of the zone to Bobby Witt Jr. We know he's not going to swing at it. We'll just walk him, and we'll let somebody else beat him. That somebody else could have been Sal, could have been Massey, could have been Renfro, could have been Pham, could have been DeJong. None of them stood up to the plate. And the other thing that stuck out to me was – it is vitally important for Tommy Pham to get on base in front of Bobby Witt Jr.
It really is, but it's also vitally important not just for him to get on base, but for somebody else behind Bobby Witt Jr. to now start producing at the plate, because what we're getting into right now is Detroit putting together that blueprint for how to beat the Royals in the postseason. And how to beat the Royals in the postseason is pretty simple. Do not let Bobby Witt basically have the bat in his hand. And if you have to walk him unintentionally, intentionally, then you go ahead and do that, but you don't let Bobby Witt beat you until somebody else proves that they can get out there and beat you. And Bobby Witt Jr. is the only guy right now in this lineup that is capable of doing that from where we stand today. The runners in scoring position stat, to me, batting average, is interesting because I think it was last week I saw they were hitting like 307 or something like that with runners in scoring position. They're down to 284 right now. So that number has fallen, you know, considerably in the last week with hitting with runners in scoring position. That has to be increased. That has to be better. You have to get back to those days where anytime a guy got on second or third, you were pretty much knocking them in. It became almost automatic that a run was getting scored. And even last night in extra innings, like Tommy Pham makes the last out of the ninth inning. And I'm thinking to myself, that's not necessarily a terrible thing, right? Because had Tommy Pham gotten out and then Bobby Witt came up and let's say they didn't pitch to him and then Salvi grounded out to end the ninth inning, then you're looking at 5, 6, and 7 coming up in the 10th. Tommy Pham makes that final out of the ninth. They're like, all right, so he's going to be on second base. I like that. Bobby Witt's coming up. Salvador Perez is coming up. Michael Massey's coming up. Like, you have your big three in that lineup coming up. Ground ball to short, and, you know, that's all she wrote, as they like to say, in that 10th inning last night for the Royals. And so they got into a position where normally they would come through and normally things would go their way, but it's just not working that way right now. And I got a friend of mine who works in baseball, and for the last couple of weeks, he goes, I don't know if it's a guarantee that the Royals make it into the playoffs. I'm like, oh, come on, it's a guarantee. And they haven't won since Saturday, guys, and they now have to face arguably the best pitcher in the American League tonight, which tells me they'll win the game because that's the way these things end up usually going. But if they don't win tonight, then you've lost four in a row and you have an off day tomorrow and that sucks. And then the Giants come into town. And like I said, they beat Baltimore last night by a score of 10-1. Detroit goes to Baltimore, but then Detroit finishes their season with 6 games against Tampa and the White Sox.
Somebody on the text line says, can you please explain to me the magic number? It shows how close a team is to clinching a postseason berth.
Combination of Royals wins and Tigers losses, when that equals 8, the Royals clinch a playoff spot.
Yeah. So you win, they lose.
So you win tonight. Mm-hmm. Now your magic number is 6.
Correct.
Had you won these 2 games ahead of time, it would have been 8. It would have been 6. It would have been 4.
Right.
And it would have been, you know, if you won tonight and swept, it would have been 2 going into the off day.
Yeah.
And if the Tigers lose tomorrow, I don't know if they're playing tomorrow, but if they lose tomorrow, then it's 1. I mean, that's how that kind of works.
And I'd have bought cigars if they swept the Tigers. Yeah. We'd have brought them in here and smoked them.
Yeah. It would have been exciting because the Royals would have clinched that playoff spot this weekend.
Right.
But you're looking at a situation right now where the Tigers are playing that style of sports that you never like to see a team play, and that's where they believe that they can do anything. The Tigers seemingly are in that mindset right now that no situation is too big, no lead is insurmountable, and no pitcher is going to go out there and dominate them. And they're making plays in the field on defense. Their pitchers are coming up at the right time. Their hitters are coming through when they need to. And the Royals just aren't doing that right now. And it's stunk over the last couple of days. The season isn't over. I still believe it's a playoff team, but they've got to find a way to get back on track. And they've got to find a way for somebody in this lineup to pick it up other than Bobby Witt, because teams aren't letting Bobby Witt beat you anymore. And that's what's going to happen in October. These playoff teams are not going to let Bobby Witt win the game for them.
And as an optimistic fan and a realist radio host, yeah, last night and the last two nights absolutely stung. I was close to getting in the car and going to get a pack of Parliament Lights. That's how stressed out I was. I was like the Ben Affleck guy outside the door, like, oh, God, again. But also, you're still a playoff team. You have a 3-game lead over the Tigers. You have a 1.5-game lead over Minnesota. All that can go back to being fine and dandy with a win tonight. And then the other thing that you got to understand is that somebody, like we just mentioned, has got to get on in front of Bobby. And somebody said, well, does Bobby go down to third? But no, if anything, Bobby should lead off. And I don't know if that's been a conversation. I know he's been the number 2 hitter the entire year for every single game for this entire season. But if you're ever going to do that, you know, maybe that's where he would have to go, is to the leadoff position because of what he can present.
How does that make you better, though? Because say he gets on, who's driving him over? You know,
it just kind of throws the opponent for a curveball. Yeah. It'd be one of those things like, wait, Bobby's leading off? Okay, well, that changes the whole thing. We have to pitch to him because we don't want to put the leadoff guy on, because then if he steals, it doesn't matter. Like, somebody could probably get it. I mean, it just depends. Like, again, it's not going to happen. And we'll have Matt Cotrero on here in about 50 minutes. But there is a strategy going on now, is that he is officially in that Barry Bonds, you know, David Ortiz, you know, main hitter on your roster, where they're just like, you know what? We're not going to pitch to you. We're going to just pitch to everybody else and make them beat us. Because at the end of the day, I think A.J. Hinch can put his head on his pillow if Freddie Freeman hits a game-winning three-run homer as opposed to Bobby Witt Jr. hits a game-winning double and the Royals win.
Yeah, and you also look at like the Guardians, what they're doing right now. Their magic number is 6 over the Royals to clinch the division. Any combination of Guardian wins and Royals losses equaling 6 will give them, you know, that division crown. So there's still a lot to play for. There's a lot of opportunity out there in these last 10 games, but they've got to take advantage of the opportunity. And I'll ask this question to the players themselves. Who's going to step it up? Who's going to be that guy? Who wants to be the hero? Because the Tigers are not going to let Bobby Witt beat them tonight.
No.
It's just not going to
happen.
Grand
Slam was the final.
That was it.
That was the nail in the coffin.
That may be the last thing we see Bobby get this year. Not because he's not going to get hit, but because nobody's going to pitch to Bobby.
Tigers minus 135 on the money line tonight. Royals plus 114. The over-under at 7.5. Fesco and Dusty brought to you by Rainier Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster's patented MyQ technology is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainierKC.com. We dive into college football on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Back here on 98, why keep doing
you
that?
Keep doing that, right?
I don't know. 96.5 The Fan here with Fesco and Dusty McMorrie as well. We go back to our poll question that we had earlier today that you can find on The Fan 96.5 on X. Simplistic one, right? Not too tough. We ask you here on Fesco and Dusty, which time slot do you like watching the Chiefs play in the most? Is it noon? Is it 3:25 or is it 7:25? And boy, is it getting closer and closer.
Is it really?
523 votes have currently been submitted. Noon has 38.6%, 3:25 still leading at 46%, and 7:25 gaining some at 14.5.
Yeah, still continuing to tick up just a little bit. And again, if you're on the 7:25 bandwagon, I'd love to know why you think that is the best time slot, because I think that's the worst one. I think if you're going to a game for me, going, it's at noon, staying at home, it's 3:25. So, I mean, I can answer both ways in that poll. And while you're on X, make sure you're streaming us live, because we're on the video camera these days. And so you can get us on Twitter, on Twitch, on Facebook, on YouTube, on all of it, right? All the platforms that are out there and available to you. So you can watch us live, do the show. It's a lot of fun. And also vote in that poll. And if you are part of that very, very small minority picking the 7 p.m. start, I'd love to know why. Like, what is the appeal for you at 7:25? Is it because that just fits into your day better, or, you know, whatever the case may be? So I'd love to know the rationale behind that.
We had one text answering saying my toddler goes to bed at 7.
Perfect. There you go. No, yeah, I get it, man. Fair. No, when the kids go down, that's when the parents play, right? Like, so that I get it. I totally understand. Like, having the kids that age back, you know, 10 years ago or whatever, is when they went down to bed, you're like, all right, whew,
sweet.
I can relax now and watch the game. And I get it. You can enjoy that game without really having any interruption. So, yeah, all right, touche to you on that one.
So when you have to whisper yell?
Yeah. Yeah, you do. Oh, the kids are sleeping. Yes. And that's me talking to my wife, not like her talking to me. Oh. Jen, they're sleeping. Calm down.
Okay. Currently 1,700 people viewing this show on the live stream.
That's cool.
That's a crazy number.
It is. Let's get it to 2,000 before the end of the second.
I saw somebody that said, you guys look differently than you sound. Dusty, you look like my Uncle Scott.
Oh. People always say that. They get an impression of what you look like. I remember... Yeah. My first job in Texas, and we were at the grocery store, me and the guy that I did the morning news with back in the day, my friend Darren Dunn, right? And we're standing at the grocery store, and I think it was like the superintendent of the school district or whatever it was. And she goes, oh, you just sounded much taller on the radio. Oh. And I was like, there's a lot of ways I could go here. And, you know, well,
Say that to Aaron Rodgers.
I know, right? Yeah.
Remember when he got offended because someone said, oh, you're not as tall as I thought you were. I don't know if it was Tracy Wolfson or Pam Oliver or somebody that said that to him. And he just like was so annoyed by it. That's insecurity at its finest.
But they like that was just like that's a weird comment to say to somebody
from the text line from the 785. Sunday night football for me, get all my stuff done early in the day and get to sit back and enjoy the game. 816, I'm too damn old for 7:25.
How old are you? You're 30? Because that's about where it starts. You're like, I don't want to get up.
From the 785, a different 785. I like 7:25 because my wife and kids are all in bed by halftime.
Okay.
From the 660. 720 is better just simply because I like to watch Red Zone for the noon and 3 o'clock games. And for the 913, me and my neighbors put the game on the projector outside, the light, the fire pit. So it's 725 for me.
725 and doing that is good. But then December and January hit, you know, even though I do go outside then at sometimes just for the hell of it.
Yeah.
You know, I've got some of the heaters out there and whatnot. And I just like being outside. But I think like once you get, I think 30 is kind of that magic number where you're like, all right, I got to still get up for work in the morning, even though it's not 3:45. I still got to get up at 6, and it kind of just, you know, wears down the night. Sometimes you just want to go to bed. You know, you get old, you want to sleep a little bit. So I think the younger you are, the more you like those 7:25 games. But then the older you get, then you have the kids and you have a job, and you're just like, ugh.
Yeah. I just love 3:25.
Now give me a 7:25 on a Saturday, I'm good. Yes. But you know,
yeah,
3:25. I think if you're staying at home, is the perfect time for the game. If you're going, I still like the noon.
I just like 3:25 because I love the Red Zone slate during the afternoon, and then I focus all my attention to the Chiefs game at 3:25, and then by then I'm in, you know, eat mode.
Yeah.
Dinner
do
gets
you eat at halftime of a 3:25 game?
No.
Or do you wait to the end of the 3:25?
I'm weird like Drew Nixon where I don't eat during games.
Oh.
Like if I...
That's like people who say openly they don't drink on flights. You're a liar.
Yeah.
You don't eat anything during a game?
Oh, I, as soon as I sit down on a flight, I ask the flight attendant, like, can we start getting alcohol? And they always laugh like, just wait. Yeah.
No, like, all right. I was listening to something the other day, one of our sister stations, like, you know, I don't drink on planes. Mm-hmm. If you're offering that up, you're lying. Everybody drinks on a flight.
Yeah. Unless you're just not a drinker.
Right. Exactly. But you get on a plane, you're going to have a cocktail or two. Right.
I'll do a double. I don't care paying $15.50 for two bottles.
I'm with you, bro. Like, load me up. Like, you know, American Airlines got Woodford Reserve in the little airline bottle. So I'm like, give me three of those. Sir, we're only going 30 minutes to Dallas. Cool. Like, give me three.
I didn't ask you how long the flight was.
That's right.
I asked you to fill this cup.
That's right. Let's go and keep them coming.
And I will give you a $20 bill because cash is king.
It is.
So two under the IR is probably the smartest thing in the world. I hope they let him sit the entire year because obviously it's not our decision to make. He came out and said that he does plan to continue to play football. Look, that's your decision. I support whatever you want to do. I might not agree with it. You know, you might tell me tomorrow that this weekend you and Jen are going to go try ayahuasca. I'd be like, I don't support that, but I support your decision.
Mm-hmm.
Tua decides he's going to continue to play. What would you do in that situation if you got that information?
I don't know.
If you're running the Dolphins. Okay.
I don't know.
That's fair.
And, you know, we were actually having this conversation, I don't know, it was a couple weeks ago at home. And my wife said, what if we had boys? Would you have let them play football? And I'm like, God, I don't know the answer to that question. I said, first of all, I'm glad we didn't have boys where I would have to make that decision. Plus, boys are dopier than girls. Like, Josh used to tell you all the time, like, wait till your kids get to middle school and high school. You see how dumb boys are. And it is true. They are idiots, right? And I watch, like, the 7th and 8th grade football games because my daughter cheerleads. And it's not like they're out there, you know, colliding into everybody at a high rate of speed. But California Trail dominates. Let's go, CT. And last week, the opposing team had, like, three or four guys break legs and arms and like eighth grade football, right? I'm like, the hell am I watching? It's like a carnage mash unit out here. Every other play, somebody's mom was on the field, the kid in the sling, the cart's taking them off. I'm like, God, this is eighth grade football. They're not really hitting that hard. The damage is real. Like, so I'm glad I never had to make that decision as a parent because I think I probably would let my kid play. You know, if they wanted to play, I would let them play type of thing. But I'm not 100% sure on that. I'm just glad I never had to make that decision. So with Tua right now, my gut tells me right now, if I were Tua, I would say I'm done. But I'm not a professional athlete that is officially ending their career and their livelihood and everything they work for their whole life. And they've got this, you know, third concussion, and they're just going to be able to walk away from it. Like, I got to be honest with you. I think Tua is going through a situation now that he's probably having to make one of the toughest decisions any athlete has ever had to make in their life. How many athletes have to sit there and look in the mirror and go, this is my third concussion. What am I going to do? Should I retire? Should I continue to play? Am I going to give up everything I worked my whole life for? Because once you're done, you're done. He needs to call Andrew Luck and find out, you know, the decision-making process with Andrew Luck and everything that he went through. Because Andrew Luck seemingly made that decision and walked away peacefully. But man, the more I talk about it, the more I'm like, I don't know what I would do. And if Tua asked me, I'd be like, I can't give you that advice. I'm not you, and I don't want to lead you down the path the wrong way. But I think I would lead towards kind of walking away because you do have that $160 million guarantee, and that helps.
The only thing that I think is interesting about the Tua thing that I take because again, like I've said, it's not our decision for another human being to make for their life. But to me, the decision, in my opinion, was made a little too quick for my blood. Like, I thought that him coming out less than a week after he got knocked unconscious again to be like, I'm not done playing football. Okay. Are you clear-headed? Like, I'm not trying to be a jerk, I promise. But, like, are you clear-headed, clear-minded, focused on what is best for you mm-hmm. as opposed to, you know, what could be another concussion and then what?
And then what?
Now are you on a time clock where, like, if you do get another one, like, the NFL is going to be like, dude, I don't care. You're out. Check your account. We've loaded you up. You're done. Because, I mean, it's just scary, man. Like, it's just... And again, I understand that he's able to do it. He's able to do whatever he wants. But like, you look at guys in the past that had too many concussions. You look at Luke Kuechly,
yeah.
right? Middle linebacker for the Carolina Panthers. Great middle linebacker. Finally had one too many.
Yep.
You look at Clay Matthews, another guy who finally just gotten hurt too many times, mm-hmm. had too many head dings, was like, I can't do this anymore. Andrew Luck finally said, you know what? I'm done feeling this way. And the way that I kind of look at this is a way that why people will stop partaking in booze. They don't necessarily have a problem with alcohol. They have a problem with what brings on the next day, which is a hangover, anxiety, dehydration. They're like, mm-hmm. I just don't like feeling like
that.
I don't want to do that.
Yep.
To me, that's an easy decision to give that up. And for Tua, it's kind of like, well, I love football. I don't really know anything else. It's like, well, you're not going to know anything at all if you get another concussion.
You know, and there was a gentleman yesterday, and I saw this on the owner of the Colts Twitter account, Jim Irsay, he tweeted about a former player of theirs dying, right? Mm-hmm. And I didn't know who this player was, but he's in his 50s. You're seeing this a lot with these guys that play in this game, that they hit their 50s and early 60s, and a lot of these guys are dying. And you know, in that situation, that would kind of be a little bit of a litmus test for me as well to see you know, what the old guard did and how they've recovered or how they're not recovering and what the future could hold. And if you're Tua, you look at all of that and you have to make the decision yourself. Like, I just don't think anybody else can make that decision for him. So he's going to have to come to that decision. And I got to be honest with you, man, and I'm talking Tua individually, it may be the hardest decision any athlete has ever had to make. I don't think Andrew Luck's decision was hard for him. I think Andrew Luck just said, I'm out, I'm done.
Yeah.
But I think with Tua, I think the decision may be the hardest decision any athlete in the history of sports in America has ever had to make.
Well, I started to think about it too, because I'm kind of where you guys are, like, I kind of want to see him be done because I don't really want to watch him play football. But then on Saturday nights, I'm watching UFC Fight Night and John Bone Jones gets knocked out. I'm like, oh man, I hope he fights Sean O'Malley in 6 months. It's like, I find myself as a sports fan being a little hypocritical. And I'm sure. Like, okay, where am I on this? Because I'm watching UFC, I'm watching these guys get destroyed, and I'm rooting it on. I'm like, all right, I'll see you in 4 months. Can't wait to have you back. And Tua gets a concussion. It's terrible and very unsafe. And I'm like, he should be done. So I don't know.
I think the difference, though, Mac, is you know what you're doing in the UFC.
That's true.
The NFL has developed this situation, and we talked about it earlier, where they protect the quarterback, right?
Yeah.
At all costs, they're protecting this guy. And he's still getting concussions. He's still getting blows to the head. Even DeMar Hamlin, not trying to hit him in the head, just hits him with that forearm. How hard of a forearm hit was that? Is a simple little tackle now where his head may hit the turf or something going to cause another concussion? Like, is he that far along? How soft is his skull? How soft is his brain? You know, all of that kind of stuff.
And he doesn't know how to fall. I mean, that hit is evidence right there. I mean, he just head first right into a guy's chest. You slide. He doesn't know how to do that.
Slide.
You know, I've said that about like Alex Smith. The best thing about him was he knew how to run. And that's one of the best things that he taught Patrick Mahomes, how to run, how to preserve your body. I think CJ Stroud was trying to give that message to Caleb Williams the other night, right? Don't take those hits. Don't be stupid. And Caleb wanted no part of that.
Cool.
Yeah. Like Caleb wanted no part of that. Like, listen to your elders. Even though CJ's only been in the league one more year, he has an idea of how things have gone on. A lot of people don't like to listen to the people that are older that have been there, done that. How you walk away from CJ Stroud when he's giving you basically lessons on how to survive in this league is beyond me. And clearly Tua's not listening to how to survive in this league. So I think it's tough, but if you're the Dolphins as a franchise, you immediately extend Mike McDaniel for a year to show your support for that guy because I'm sure in the back of his mind's like, oh my God, Skylar Thompson, no offense, Independence. But what are we going to do? I don't have Tua. My whole season is shot in week two, essentially. So I would extend Mike McDaniel for a year. I would not trade for Bryce Young or Daniel Jones, same person. Mm-hmm. Let it ride out with Skylar Thompson. But if you're going to see the availability of Matthew Stafford out there right now, if I'm the Dolphins, I am calling the Rams about Matthew Stafford.
That's an upgrade.
Big upgrade.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, big upgrade. If so, if he's on the trading block, which there were rumors of yesterday, if you're the Dolphins, you got to get in on that.
When you mentioned three concussions, I mean, it's three concussions that are designated. But really, I mean, you remember 2 years ago, we all saw that one of those hits, and it was a concussion. They didn't take him to the doctor. Nothing happened. But we know now it's four. It's really four. Let's be real.
Mm-hmm.
It's unsafe.
And that doesn't count anything that may have happened in college.
Exactly. High school, 100%.
Sometimes you agree, and sometimes you disagree with the text line. One text says, comes down to what the doctor says. If the doctor says he can return, he would lose money if he retires. If the doctor says he cannot play football again, he gets his guaranteed money. That's all it is at this point.
Well, see, but then the doctor, you know, I don't take what team doctors say.
Right.
They work for the team.
I just, you know, I think the problem with it is that, and there was another text that said, I'm not going to watch another game that he plays in because I can't fathom watching him. Because, like, it seems like every concussion he gets is super dramatic. Like, because it's like, it is. Like,
the fencing, yeah.
I mean, the man's body freezes up.
Mm-hmm. It's just tough, man, to watch something like that. But again, we also, like the athletes who sign up to play football, we sign up to watch football.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
We know week in and week out, there is a chance something could happen. Watching Isaiah Pacheco get rolled up on the ground, I knew immediately that there was something bad out of that injury. I didn't know the severity of it, but the way he got wrapped up, I'm like, that's not good. Right. Watching Tua get hit, I'm like, watching his arm go straight stiff into the oblivion, I was like, that's an injury.
Uh-huh.
That's not good. My God, it's happened again. So, yin-yang, whatever you want to do it.
But is it going to affect you from watching the game again? Like,
it will not.
No.
And that's the thing, addiction, right? That I have. And right. I clearly admit that. Like, yeah,
what if somebody dies on the field? Would that change your way of watching
somebody
football?
Did for like half a second.
I understand.
And we all saw it.
And we all saw it.
And they showed replays of it four straight times and finally said, stop doing that.
Right. What if they weren't able to revive him, though, and they ended up losing him? Would that stop you from watching football? I don't think it would. I don't think it would.
You would never forget it. Right. But you would not stop.
You talk about it, you'd be like, man, remember when we saw that situation happen or whatever? Like,
it's also the same thing with political stuff. Like when people are like, it's getting too political, I'm done watching. I'm like, no, you're not, Marty. You're watching, buddy. Right. I know you're watching because you just told me what the score was last week.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
It's a powerhouse for a reason. Speaking of powerhouses, the University of Tennessee is trying to build a powerhouse. Oh, Rocky Top, shout it out.
I love this.
You're welcome.
Tennessee is preparing to add a 10% talent fee to its ticket prices to raise money to give its players.
I love it.
It's great.
Why not? My take on this is quite simple. Why not enjoy the game and the athletes? So give a little to get a lot. 10%, we can go back to the vote, right? The 1%, whatever. 10% out of your pricing is not as much as you would think, but with everybody, because what is Rocky Top hold? Over 100,000?
105,102,
yep.
Hello. Like,
I mean, but they've only sold out 15 games in a row, which so, I'm like,
okay.
I thought Tennessee was one of those places you couldn't get a ticket. It was sold out for 100 years straight.
It wasn't great for a while.
And but then, even still, like, those places still sell out.
And
like,
then Bobby Hill came in and everything changed.
I bet it's 101,000 when it's not 102. Like, I bet they're getting pretty close. I've never seen Neyland even 70% empty. Yeah. 30% empty.
Is this game Saturday in Norman or is it in?
It's in Norman.
Are you going down there for that game?
Gosh, I wish.
Why wouldn't you?
Hello?
Moolah?
Yeah, how much is a ticket? How much is it getting? God, go get a press pass. Cover the game.
So wait. So Oklahoma has Tennessee this week and then Red River Shootout next week?
Yes. I think that's the way it is. Yeah.
Dang.
Oklahoma's got UT both weeks.
They play the
real one this week, the fake one next week.
Thank you.
The real orange against the fake orange?
Yeah, the burnt orange. Somebody wants burnt orange as their color in a, you know, Texas.
I like a burnt orange.
What?
At times. I don't know. Like a smoked orange you put like in an old fashioned?
In an old fashioned. Old fashioned? You're not a big fan?
What's the difference? They just put
the big thing over the top and light it on fire.
I don't know.
I like it. I like mezcal over tequila, though, too.
Oh, I don't like that. It tastes like somebody spit a thing of skull
in my
drink.
Depends on which one you get. I've got some good mezcal. My guy over at Mike's Liquors, Andy, does an unbelievable job.
I'm more of an Anejo guy.
Oh, okay. Very good.
That's for the camera.
Yeah.
Mezcal just tastes like Binkley, like took a drink and left like half of his skull in there. Like,
I promise
now you can't drink.
I've got some good. I'll give you some good where you're like, okay, that doesn't have as bad a smoky flavor as some of the other stuff. But anyway, as we were talking, what were we talking about?
Tennessee getting the money.
Getting the money to the athletes. Yeah. I love this idea because this is where we're headed now in college sports. And if you're going to enjoy the games, well, you got to pay the freight right now, right? And fans over the years have always complained about ticket prices, right? It better go to payroll if they're raising ticket prices. Well, Tennessee is doing just that. Mm-hmm. They're actually raising ticket prices like 4-5% mm-hmm. and then tacking on a 10% talent fee after that. That's the cost of doing business right now. But at least you know that increase is going towards payroll. If John Sherman came out today and said, next season, we're raising tickets 10%, but that difference is going directly in the payroll, you'd be more apt to pay that. You'd be like, okay, you're using it to get better players. I think people can appreciate what Tennessee is doing. They're not adding a 10% talent fee to go build a weight room that's not needed or upgrade a facility or anything like that. What they're doing is they're going out there and they're using that money directly to pay players for NIL to make their product better.
Right.
And from my standpoint, I love that. And if I was a Tennessee fan, I'd be all over supporting that.
I don't know why you wouldn't be.
Yeah, I'm in, man.
You want to have a fun, loving football team. And I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen Rocky Top at its peak when it's rumping and bumping.
Oh, God, yeah.
You could have that for years to come when athletes are like, wait a minute. Goosebumps. There's a chance I can get like 10% of this like into my, like, hell yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, I think fans in college especially would be very apt to pay that. And like, say you spend $1,000 on your ticket, you know, 10% of that is another $100. If you're spending this kind of money already on this, it's not that much more. Meanwhile, at Arkansas, which I think borders Tennessee, their athletic director is basically saying, we stink because you guys suck as fans.
Yeah, but they also have like the most NIL money in college sports, I believe.
Yeah, they're up there.
Yeah, because they got Walmart, Jerry Jones, and something else.
Tyson Chicken.
Yeah, that's
ridiculous.
Right.
Yeah. And he's essentially blaming the fans. You have a bad coach. I know this Pittman guy, you know, had to stay at Pitt State, and Binkley probably knows him from those days of Chicken Annies or whatever it was back in the day. Mm. They need to fire him. They need to hire my guy Ryan Hill at University of Nebraska Kearney, put him in the head coach at Arkansas, and that program will take off. I promise you, Held will do a great job down there.
Right.
But the athletic director of Arkansas says, if we can get 10,000 households across the state of Arkansas to give $100 a month all year long, we'll be back in the NIL game. Huh?
Okay. How's Tennessee doing? Pretty good?
Yeah.
How's Arkansas doing?
Not good.
Thank you. It is a National Cheeseburger Day on September 18th. So I ask you this, text line, 913-586-7965. Build your cheeseburger with three ingredients. Obviously, cheese doesn't count. You get three ingredients.
Wait. Cheese doesn't count.
Because it's cheeseburger day. So you get three ingredients. Mac, Bob, and I will give ours on the other side. Text line, it's up to you.
Cheese does make a difference.
913-586-7965. Build your perfect cheeseburger with just three ingredients. Cheese does not count. You're listening to 98.
We've never been on 98 anything.
You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports and my last day.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5, The Fan.
Well, I'll tell you what, we've all been there before, right? You've had car trouble, whether you blow a tire, you get into an accident, you lock your keys in the car, or maybe your car just doesn't start. As we get towards wintertime, sometimes that does happen. And it's always at the worst possible time. You don't know what to do. You don't know who to call. Well, I've got the solution for you. It's Jay's Southland Tow. I want you to put their number in your phone right now so you have it and it's ready to go. 816-779-4TOW. 816-779-4TOW. Save that in your phone as Jay's Southland Tow. So when something happens to you at 522 on a Friday like it did for me a couple of weeks ago, a couple of months ago now, I called Jay's Southland Tow. By 6 o'clock, I was up and running again. They come out fast, they get the job done, and they're awesome as well. And with Jay Southland Tow, when you call them directly, you don't have to wait for an insurance company to send somebody out that could take potentially hours. Jay Southland Tow will head out as soon as you call them. So put that number in your phone, 816-779-4TOW, or at southlandtow.com. Use the tow service trusted by most local police departments, and Tammy from the Westin, it's Jay Southland Tow. There's nothing they can't do, so be in the know and use Jay Southland Tow.
This next segment will remind me of the out of left field question that we would do on After Hours. For those of you that used to listen, I appreciate you. Thanks for still listening here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5. The Fan.
There you go.
We're learning. We threw the question out before we went to break. It is National Cheeseburger Day.
Cheeseburger, so, cheeseburger, cheeseburger.
That's right. God, now I want a cheeseburger.
I had a Juicy Lucy the other day. It was delicious. All right, You're not a fan of those?
I did it once and I burnt the absolute piss out of my lap.
You gotta wait for them to cool off a little bit. Juicy Lucy.
Where you put the cheese inside two.
It's a Minnesota tradition. Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to take two, some people, it depends on your ounces. You're supposed to take like 2 2-ounce burger patties, fold up cheese, put it in the middle, and then pinch the outsides and then grill it.
Damn, cheese melts on the inside. It's a delicious burger.
I was just seven Pacificos in and starving. And I took one huge bite, and it was like when you bite into a pizza roll and it burns the absolute out of the roof of your mouth. Yeah, I did that. I was like, because I used pepper jack cheese. It was fantastic.
I gotta try that.
Yeah, that's a couple cheeseburgers right there that he made. So.
That's right, Andy.
Yeah. Are we eating the cheeseburgers on the camera this morning for everybody to see or not?
I would, and I'd go full Guy Fieri. I love that, man.
The hunch.
Oh, yeah. You do the elbows. You get over the table so you don't trip it on your chest. But again,
cheeseburger. You said three ingredients, right?
Yeah, and cheese doesn't count. So cheese is already on it.
Okay.
Whether you want to make your own cheese, that's fine. So if you're like, well, I love a blue cheese and whatever. Cheese doesn't count. So you get burger patty, bun, cheese, and then three ingredients.
Okay, so now does ketchup, mustard, mayonnaise Correct. Count as an ingredient?
If that's your three, then that's it.
Okay, because that changes a lot. Then. Mm-hmm. That really does. It changes a lot of cheese, where I was going
to
go.
You don't have to say cheese. Cheese is already on
cheese
the burger.
Cheese is on the cheeseburger. Now, so, if you want to specify which kind of cheese, because I do think a Munster cheese melts beautifully on your burger. Mm. It encases the burger, and it is a cheese-wrapped burger. Mm. It's like a outside Juicy Lucy, whatever that would be. A Lucy Juicy, then?
A Lucy Goosey.
A Lucy Goosey, yeah. Right?
Start it now.
So
get going.
I'm going to go then. If I have to take a condiment, I'm going to go with catsup. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with bacon, and I'm going to go with grilled onion.
Mm. Ketchup, bacon, grilled onion.
Right.
I'm going to go with blue cheese crumbles.
So in addition
that's my
to...
Cheese. That's no, that's my cheese.
Okay.
So that's,
oh,
the,
okay,
that's the cheese.
Gotcha.
And,
wait,
and what is this?
Cheese.
And this is
cheese.
And what is this?
Cheese.
And this is
cheese.
And what is this?
Cheese.
And how do you say this?
Queso.
Okay.
No, my cheese would be blue cheese because that's what really identifies my next three ingredients. Heinz 57.
Okay. French fried potatoes.
Well, that'd be, kosher pickle. Mm-hmm. But I would do blue cheese crumbles would be my cheese. And then I would throw on Heinz 57 as a sauce. I would do a little bit of bacon. And then I'd do a little jalapeno.
Ooh, the jalapeno's nice.
And I'd cook that on the Blackstone, and you better believe I'd have the steel bowl over the burger squirting the water.
How cool is that when you get that steam going?
I felt like Gordon Ramsay the first time I did it, because I'm like, bull crap, this works. And I was like, I'm going to squirt a little water back under there. And I opened up, and I was like, oh, my God, it works.
Yeah, it's awesome. I do that with, everything now on the Blackstone.
Yeah, so it would be my cheeseburger would be a blue cheese cheeseburger with jalapeno bacon and Heinz 57, that will slap your grandmother across the face.
What are you doing there,
amazing.
Mac Attack?
I'm going to go ketchup, mayonnaise.
Oh, God.
The ketchup-mayonnaise combo.
Immediate judgment.
But, I mean, you get three ingredients, and two of them are ketchup and mayo.
Well, that sucks. I want them both. They work great together on a burger. And then it was between bacon or tomatoes. I'm going to go tomatoes.
Oh. Mm. Okay. Bob with a deep Borat cut. Better believe it. We watch that clip probably once a week.
It's the best. I mean, the fact that that didn't make the movie, I cry every day. I haven't laughed that hard at a movie, I don't know, maybe ever.
Right.
And then you get to the credits, and this dope is going up and down the cheese aisle with him. And he did the whole entire cheese, and I couldn't stop watching.
Down back, down back, down back.
And what is this?
Cheese.
And what is this?
Cheese.
And this is?
Cheese.
And what is this?
Cheese.
And this is?
My wife.
And this is biscuits?
Yes, no, cheese.
And this is pens?
Yes. From the 913, lettuce, tomato, jalapeno. Nothing wrong with that. From the 816, Dusty wants to join 98.9. why try and build a burger when Town Topic already made the perfect one? You're
okay,
no fun.
Thanks.
From the 816, mustard, mayo, jalapeno. From the 816, give me crispy bacon, mayo, and ketchup. Hell yeah, brother.
It's a good one.
Crispy bacon,
yeah.
Mayo, and jalapeno?
Yeah. From the 816, he's taking over for Johnny Dare. LOL. That's funny. From the 913.
Fresh jalapeno or pickled jalapeno?
Yes. Sure. Doesn't matter. Fresh jalapeno gives you that little fresh bite.
Oh, yeah. It's so good. Jalapeno, fresh jalapeno, yeah.
Pickled jalapeno kind of gives you that stank on the way down.
I think fresh are much more spicier than the pickled
ones.
Oh,
for sure. The seeds are still there.
Yeah.
I like this. We're getting a lot of this ingredient from 816. Garlic aioli, cold pickle from the deli, and a side of ketchup to dip that thing. From the 7-8.
The side of ketchup is smart because it doesn't smear and get all over. And like you could use a knife and put it on, like you bite ketchup, bite. I like the idea.
This is with a brioche bun, right?
Yeah.
Okay, obviously.
Somebody's, I'm going pretzel bun.
Somebody said pickle, onion, yellow mustard. Not mad about that. Lettuce, onion, Thousand Island. Bacon, jalapeno, and some mayo. So I don't know if that's just like a dabble. Somebody here is my spirit animal. I can't eat this because I'll die. From the 816, chili, onions, and pickles. But you know you take a bite.
You make it out with anybody after you eat that thing?
No, you make it out with your pillow.
Yeah. For 3 days, that thing's repeating on you.
Or a porcelain basin. From the 816, bacon, mushroom, Swiss, doesn't count. So then garlic, butter, toasted bun.
Oh, I like you right there. Yeah, that's good.
816, triple smash burger, provolone cheese, bacon, over easy egg, onion ring. Hello.
Nice.
Hello, Jay. Bacon, barbecue sauce, and caramelized onions.
That's
makes
a good
perfect
call
burger,
too.
But also with cheese.
Yeah.
Spicy, hot, sweet pickle, barbecue sauce, red onion. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good one, too.
From the 816, Bob's cousin, Hellman's mayonnaise, mushroom, and tomato. I don't respect somebody that just said, I don't need three ingredients. Just give me ketchup and grilled onions.
But when you said Mac had ketchup, mayonnaise, and a tomato.
Let him live his life.
We've seen multiple texts
like
that.
No beef on your hamburger?
The beef's the burger.
Yeah.
The bacon?
Yeah, it was close.
Bacon, jalapeno, mayo, fried egg, jalapenos, barbecue sauce. I am so proud of these people that are using the jalapeno because they are so good on hamburgers.
Actually, can I change mine a little bit?
Nope, you're done.
All right, I'm done. All right.
Yep. Sorry.
The best thing that you could put on top of a burger, Dusty, is a bratwurst.
Well,
you butterfly that thing like it's State Street Brats in Madison. Mm-hmm. You butterfly the brats, split it open. Place it on top of your burger. You got a brat burger on a pretzel bun with a side of cheese curds.
I do love cheese curds.
Whose arteries didn't get hard?
Arteries is what we're talking about. A little pulled pork, Heinz 57, crispy jalapeno. Good golly, Miss Molly. I'd eat that 2 days a week. Blue cheese, onion rings, barbecue sauce, and pickle. Well, I guess that's your cheese is the blue cheese. So, yeah, onion ring, barbecue sauce, pickle. I'd be down with that. Mmm. Bacon and French onion dip?
Ooh.
On a burger?
Wait a second now.
Hold on. We might be onto something here.
Hang on.
Smear a little French onion dip on the brioche
bun. It's got the onion included, so you're sneaking in another ingredient.
You got the creaminess.
Yeah.
That melts a little bit with the... We might have to do this.
That sounds really good.
I love some French onion dip with a little wavy lay.
You got to have the wavy lays. You use the regular ones like break in the
bowl.
The
little you get the little trail in the dip. You know that it's been popular? Stop it. I'm starving now. Okay, fair enough. I'll listen to you. Because coming up on the other side, we get our guy, manager of the Royals, Matt Cotrero, will join the show here on Fesco and Dusty, 98.5. God, I'm done.
You're done.
Take it away, Mac.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5, The Fan.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northside's and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.